Pascha Week is a period in the year where the Church relives hour by hour all the events of the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in his victorious crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. Upper Room Media presents to you the Pascha Week sermons.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Thank you, Anne-Marie. We all recognize that hymn. Truly, it's one of the hymns, I think one of our favorite hymns, probably in Holy Week. And it's a good reminder of what our Lord has done for us. Over the last few weeks, we've been on this incredible journey throughout Lent, and it continues throughout Holy Week. And it's been a journey that should be a journey that has been strengthening us and pushing us towards change. A lot of times, or almost everything during Lent was a time of repentance, that we spoke a lot about repentance, and we spoke how Christ encountered so many different people and their lives were changed. And during Holy Week, this journey hasn't stopped. During this journey, like the church encourages us to grow in faith, in our love towards Christ, and to have love towards one another, and to increase in our spiritual journey. And there are certain things that over Lent also decreased, hopefully, in our life. Certain things like greed, and maybe our pride, and our stubbornness, and our self-centeredness, all of these things hopefully have decreased. Hopefully certain things are going up and certain things are coming down. Hopefully we have a willingness and an openness to change. Our prayer is that the Lord permits us to remember these past few days, and we remember them not for any other reason other than that we offered a true repentance, and that our hearts were truly ready to be changed. That we provided, that maybe we realigned some of our priorities in our life. Over Lent and over Holy Week, especially over Holy Week, we know that some people take vacation and some people really spend and kind of shift all of their routines with their children and so forth, all for this one week, realigning truly our priorities. Our church encourages us through the readings to really continue down this journey of change. And some of the readings in Holy Week seem to be a little bit harsher. And actually, one of the first readings in Holy Week, which is on Sunday night, it's one where Christ came into the temple and he started flipping and overturning the tables. It seemed to be a very harsh message that you and I need to hear sometimes, that there's something that needs to change within us and something that needs to be overturned. Readings and all of the scripture that we hear, and we hear so many readings, all push us towards change and true change. If you look over Lent and you recognize all the characters, or you revisit all the characters that Christ met, you see that they all had this willingness to change. They all had this idea of making the decision of doing the hard things in order for them to receive a blessing. You see this week over week over in Lent, and you continue to see this theme throughout Holy Week. You know, the last few days, the person that's been on my mind is Simon the Cyrene. And we all know his story, and he doesn't say, I don't think he says any words in Scripture, right? Like, I don't think he says any words, but we all know him. You guys all know him? A show of hands, Simon of Cyrene, who knows him? Yeah? Come on. Okay, we need to be a little bit more than that. Simon of Cyrene was the one that was a passerby that just passed by and was asked to carry the cross with Jesus. To physically carry the cross, something that you and I are asked to do on a daily basis is to carry this cross of ours. Simon the Cyrene was just this passerby, and he made the decision to carry the cross, whether it was forced upon him or not, and it seemed that it was forced upon him, but there was ways out that he could have used and could have made some excuses. This week, Holy Week, is not a week for us to kind of just sit back and say, well, Lord, this is just another week like any other week. Or we spent maybe, you know, the last 5, 6, 7 days in church, and then on Monday we're going to go back to normal. No, Lord, we want something to change truly within us. You know, this is the time for us to make the decision that something needs to be cleaned up in our lives. Something needs to be overturned in my life in order for me to be able to make the hard and the right decisions in order for me to change. You know, I always have this song in my head when it comes time to clean up, and it's from the theologian Barney, and he says, clean up, everybody everywhere, clean up, everybody do their chair. Yes, like it's always in my mind that this is what has to happen, that there's something that has to be cleaned up within me. We know the necessity of cleaning up, and we know that today we need to make the right decision. All throughout Holy Week, we've heard instructions, and we've heard stories, and we've lived through certain events, and we've heard parables and questions. Decisions had to be made. From watching Jesus overturn the table, we had to make the decision, do I want to stick with a God like this or not? We also, the question throughout Holy Week was, who do men say that I am? And we have to answer that question. We've learned lessons from the teachings of Tuesday, all the parables of the talents and the wise virgins, and we said, are we willing to learn these lessons as well? We also have to learn to make the decision like Judas did. Judas had to decide to betray a person that did all these amazing miracles and healings and amazing teachings, yet he made the decision to betray his Lord. Do we want to make that decision, or have we made that decision or not? I hope that we haven't. Peter also had to make a decision to let the Lord wash his feet. Peter made a decision also to deny the Lord. Peter made the decision as well to come back and to repent. And Simon the Cyrene decided, should I carry or should I not carry? He could have said many things. Many things went through his head probably at that time. And he said, no, I don't want to carry this cross. This is embarrassing. What if they think I'm the criminal and that Jesus is the good guy and trying to help me? Yes, Jesus is the good guy. But maybe what are they going to think about me? Are people going to think that I'm the criminal and Jesus is just helping me? I am just a passerby. That's what the scripture says about this man. But this man, we know that this encounter, this very short encounter and this carrying of the cross, he made the decision to allow that encounter and that cross and whatever he carried, that piece of wood, to change his life. The person that was walking ahead of him. It's very clear in scripture that Simon the Cyrene, when he carried the cross, he carried it behind Jesus, that Jesus was still leading him, and that he was willing and he allowed Jesus to continue to lead him for the rest of his life. Decisions we make are so important, and they shape our destiny and they shape who we are. Who is God to us? Today we sit here and we hear hymns and we hear songs and we hear worship songs and we hear meditations and we read scripture and all of these things. But the question has to be is, who is God to me? What is the decision that you and I are going to make today? How serious do we take God and His Word? How serious are you and I about the calling that God has called every single one of us? How serious are we willing to listen to His instructions? Or are we stuck in this unworthiness loop? A lot of times people say, I want to be close to God. I want to be with Him, but I'm unworthy. We get stuck in this unworthiness loop. The question is not about worthiness. The question is about willingness. Simon the Cyrene was not necessarily worthy to carry the cross, but he was willing. And because he was willing, life changed. Willingness is what we see all throughout Holy Week, and especially today. Today we look and we see the Lord Christ on the cross, and we may say that there's no willingness that is in there, but you and I both know that he did this of his own free will. In the liturgy we pray, and it says he gave it up for us upon the holy wood of the cross, of his own will for us all. not for necessarily those that were worthy. It doesn't mention anything about worthiness. It doesn't mention anything about my doings. It doesn't mention anything about my holiness. It just mentions that he did this of his own free will for us all. In the liturgy, there are so many small things that lead us to the place that Christ went up on the cross of his own free will, that he was willing to do this. And we, you and I, have to ask the question, and we have to answer the question, about willingness. What are you and I willing to do? The decisions that we make, are we willing to be open to what God has called us to? You know, when we put an adjective before a day, like the name of the day, we know that it's big. You know, Palm Sunday, we know it's a big day for us. Palm Sunday. Covenant Thursday, great. You know, Easter Sunday, great. Great Friday, okay. Super Bowl Sunday, we all understand. Some of these, we understand why we put these adjectives before. But when it comes to Great Friday or Good Friday, does that make sense? Palm Sunday makes sense. There's palms. You know, Covenant Thursday, okay, it's a new covenant. Super Bowl Sunday, we know the Super Bowl is on the Sunday. We get it. But Great Friday, on the day that our Lord was crucified, on the day that the Lord gave up his last breath, and we call this as Christians good? Maybe everyone else outside that don't know the love of Christ and his unconditional love towards us may say, yeah, this is a bad day for Christians. But you and I know that this is a good day. That this is a good day. Even though the Son of God was flogged and he was ordered to carry his cross and that he was crucified and that he was put to death, some people have a difficult time saying that this was a good day and a good Friday. But you and I know much more than that, because we know that the darkness that we saw just a few hours ago, light has come back. Why? Because he has overcome. He has overcome. He has overcome death, he has overcome sin, and he has overcome darkness and light. A lot of people would have thought, and the people that were looking at this cross probably would have said, that evil prevailed and evil won at this time. That evil won. That the Lord was spreading good teachings. Everybody knew who Christ, or at least the people that were there knew, because at one point on Palm Sunday, they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. And then a few hours later, they were saying, crucify him. Don't tell me that they didn't know the message that he was providing. He was providing a good message. He was providing a nice message. He was providing a healthy message of love. He was providing all of this. And now all of a sudden, we're going to come and say that he was evil. No, they knew that evil prevailed. That people look and see and they think that evil prevailed. But we know that evil did not prevail, because the Lord conquered death. All week, we're reminded of these opportunities for us to make the right decision. Call it whatever you want. Whether you want to call it a roadblock in your life, whether you want to call it a fork in the road, whether you want to call it options, whether you want to call it trials or temptations, all of these present us opportunities to go God's way versus the world's way. And we need to be excited about opportunities. I know sometimes life is hard. And I know sometimes that we are faced with temptations that we feel like we cannot overcome. And that there are roadblocks and that there are obstacles in our life that we feel that we can't overcome. But today is the day that we know that no obstacle is too big for God. You are passed these papers to write something on it. Nobody's going to see what you're going to write on this paper. But I want to tell you, whatever you want to write on it that's going to be nailed to the cross is not too much for the cross. It's never going to be too much for the cross. And that's why opportunity and obstacles and roadblocks should be welcomed by us, because then we know that the Lord is able to remove these obstacles. Obstacles are an opportunity for you and I to choose God over the world. Opportunity to make a decision, opportunity to head down a different path, opportunity to know God a little bit more, or opportunity to know what God really wants from me. These are what we call, like, when there's these little opportunities that happen to us, not little, but they're called, like, I call them God-sized opportunities. You find God doing things in your life that will forever change you. Simon the Cyrene was just walking. He was walking. He was a passerby, and God allowed for something. Some people say that maybe he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but we say that he was in the right place at the right time, because this is what changed his life. And I want to tell you that I think that all of us are in the right place at the right time at this moment. That truly God is calling us to change, and God is calling us to offer him the things that we think are obstacles. We have to make the right decisions, and we have to be okay with making the hard decisions. Sometimes we're a little bit scared to make a decision because we don't know, there's no undo button in life. Wouldn't it be nice to have the undo? I don't know if you guys know this, but in an iPhone, do you guys know what happens on an iPhone when you shake the iPhone? Who knows this? The Android people don't know this, of course. But the iPhone people should know this. I found this out recently, which is when you shake it, it undoes your last thing. So if you were typing and you didn't want something, you just shake your iPhone and it undoes it. You delete an email and you don't want it undeleted, or you don't want it deleted, you just shake your iPhone and it comes back. It's great. So smart. iPhones are so smart. It's not a plug for iPhone here, but at the end of the day, wouldn't that be great in life that sometimes I said something that I just shake myself and I could retake that word that I said? Or maybe, I ate something that didn't sit very well and I wanted to press the undo button that I could just redo it. But the reality is that life doesn't happen that way. Life doesn't happen. We don't have an undo button. We're going to do things that kind of are not good for us, or we're going to do things that are unhealthy. But at the end of the day, we need to learn from these decisions that we make. Jesus' life would have been very different had he made a different decision. Simon the Cyrene, the same thing. He could have went the other way. He could have said, well, no, I don't want to carry this cross. He could have said, but I have children waiting for me at home. He could have said many other excuses in order to change his decision, but he didn't. And one of the parables that we heard throughout Holy Week is the parable of the talents. And something that influenced the man that had one talent. The story of the talents is that, one was given five, one was given two, and one was given one. And the five and the two went and invested and came back and gave more. The one with the one, out of fear, what did he do? He dug it and he just gave it back as whole. Fear sometimes paralyzes us. And I looked up the, different types of fear. There's so many different fears. But for us, there's always this fear of risk that prevents us from choosing God's way. Big decisions are not easy to make, because we know that there's going to be consequences when it comes to it. And in all honesty, sometimes the world's way is a lot easier for us to choose than God's way. The world's way is easier, it's more alluring, it's more, it's just an easier way to walk. And a few weeks ago, we spoke about the man that was born blind. And we spoke about the hard task that he had to do. That maybe it wasn't a hard task for you and I to go and wash at the pool of Siloam. But this man that was born blind, we said that he had the hard task because he was blind. To walk from here to there blind would be a task for anybody that can't see. So it's important for us to be able to make the hard decisions. All of these people at the end that we face, Judas and Simon of Cyrene and all the Marys and all the different characters that we face, that we encounter throughout Holy Week, we characterize them. If I say Judas to you, you say, what? Judas? What? Traitor. Yeah, betrayer. Traitor. If I say, Simon, maybe you could say lucky. I don't know but there's a characteristic, or their character was built based on the decisions that they made. And I wonder, what am I going to be characterized with? At the end of my life, what are people going to say? What are people going to say that I stood up for? What are people going to say that I lived for? Who did I live for? You know, Saint Father Bishoy Kim says people don't need to hear about Christ anymore. They have heard enough. They rather need to see Christ in us. And he was saying that this is just something that you and I need to make the hard decisions in our life in order to portray Christ, to make the right decisions at all times. God has given us many opportunities over the last week and over the last 2 weeks and maybe over the last 50 days. And he's going to give us a lot more opportunities to choose him over the next little while. Are we willing to change for God? God is using these opportunities to mold us, to change us, and to make us more and more like him. And maybe we have a fear. We have these fears that we don't want God to kind of shake us out of our comfort zone. But it's important for us to get out of our comfort zone if we want true change. I shared this story when I was back in Ottawa. I shared this story with you before, but I'll share it again. So bear with me, which was when I was back in Ottawa, in the church, they wanted to teach us how to go and share Christ with people outside of the church. So there was somebody from within the Coptic church that studied this. So he came to our church and he kind of gave us a class. So we were sitting in the basement of the church and he was giving us the class and it was great. He gave us such good information. It was so good. It was so good. And I was like, this guy is amazing. I love him. I love him to that. Like, whatever he's saying, it's great. I love it. Up until he said one thing. He was teaching us how to share Christ in a mall setting. Like, if you go to a mall or go to a university setting. I was like, okay. Anyways, everything he said was great. Up until this one thing where he said, where's the closest mall? I was like, excuse me? And he's like, yeah, where's the closest mall? And I said, it's not far. It's like 50 minutes. It's like, let's go. All of a sudden, what he was saying to us in the classroom, he wants us to go out and do it. And I'm like, no. Like, I'm happy here. Here, this is good. This is good information. I could share Christ here. Everybody here wants to hear about Christ. What do you mean go to the mall? What do you mean go to the university and start speaking about Christ? It really shook me. Like, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I have to admit, because it took me out of my comfort zone. And I made every excuse under the moon to try and get out of this. And truly, sometimes, like, we make these excuses. And we need to understand that sometimes we have a defense mechanism. And all animals have a defense mechanism. If a skunk is being attacked, a skunk is going to spray a bad smell on you. That's their defense mechanism. You know, a possum, when it's being attacked, it plays dead. Humans, when we are kind of like trying to get a little bit out of our comfort zone or being pushed out of our comfort zone spiritually, what do? Is we spiritualize our excuses. Like for me personally, nowadays it's fine. When I'm a priest and somebody, one of you come, or if I'm outside and somebody comes to me and says, hey, can you pray for me? It's fine. It's easy because I'm a priest now. So they see that, okay, like there's an expectation that you should pray. But if I'm not in the mood or if I don't want to do this or whatever, I kind of like spiritualize. I say, well, didn't the Lord say I have to have a Sabbath, so a day of rest? So I kind of like, you know, ignore that person or ignore that need. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of to get a little bit deeper and closer to God? Today, I think I just want to leave you with the message of willingness. Are we willing to have God change our life? Yes or no? It's a simple question, but it's a daunting task. Are you willing for God to change your life? Are you open to this? Are you open? Are you receptive to this? What are the steps? What steps are you afraid to take that would result in a depth and a closeness of God? Like, are you afraid to committing to a church meeting? Are you afraid to serve your family? Are you afraid to talk, whether it's to admit a fault or whether it's to preach? Are you afraid to go on a mission? Are you afraid to, you know, share your love of Christ with those that are around you? Are you afraid to forgive somebody? Maybe that's what is needed. When Father Bishoy Kamel was speaking about they need to see Christ in us. Christ forgave everyone that was around them, even those that nailed them to the cross. And I wonder if I'm able to do this. Bishop Paul of Africa always tells us, and he always says, do something crazy for the Lord. That's his saying. Do something crazy for the Lord. And this man, if you've met him, those that have met him will understand that this man lives by this. He lives by doing something crazy for the Lord. He lives and he teaches and he lives fearlessly. Why? Because he knows that God is truly in control. He has made the decision. He has made the decision that he is willing to let God control all aspects of his life. Peter, another example that we see, and I'm going to conclude with this, is Peter. Peter was one of those people that used to see and seize the opportunity. In one of the in the book of Acts, it speaks about one time that Peter was passing by and there was a beggar, and the beggar says to him, "Give me," basically he was begging. And Peter, and it says here in Acts chapter 3 verse 4, it says, "And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have.'" Okay, why are you asking me to look at you then? You know that I need silver and gold. This beggar needs silver and gold. Why do I need to look at you? And then he says, but what I do have, I give you. Peter saw. Peter saw and he seized. Peter saw and he seized. He saw an opportunity to share God's love. He took a risk. He didn't know if God was going to heal this beggar or not, but he took a risk and he said, "I'm going to see. God allowed me to see this person, then I'm going to seize the opportunity." How many opportunities do we see and do we not seize? That's the difference between a lot of the saints of our churches and us, is that they saw and they seized. We see and we don't seize. Yeah, we see and we don't seize. We don't take that opportunity. We need to stop making excuses. Over the last little while, we didn't see any excuses in Scripture. All of those that healed were healed. The man that was born blind didn't make an excuse about how is he going to make it to the pool of Siloam. He said, "Sure, I'm going to the pool of Siloam." The Samaritan woman, she didn't make an excuse and say, "I'm not going to go back and preach and share." She just went. She didn't say, "Well, these people don't like me. They already judged me. They know that I had five husbands." She didn't make any of those excuses. She saw an opportunity and she seized. And I hope that you and I could also take the opportunity and not make excuses. Unfortunately, some of us sitting here are probably already making excuses and saying, "Well, Father Thomas, those people that you mentioned are in Scripture and they're all saints." I want to tell you, Peter wasn't this superstar. Peter was a man like you and I. He was a human like you and I. He denied Christ three times, but yet he seized the opportunity to come to repentance. Saint Silouan says, "The saints were people like all of us. Many of them came out of great sin, but by repentance they attained the kingdom of heaven. And everyone who comes there comes through repentance, which the merciful Lord has given us through his suffering." Through his suffering, we have received repentance. Through his suffering, we have received a chance to truly change. I pray that we stop making excuses. That I stop making excuses, first and foremost. That whatever excuse I'm holding right now for not forgiving that person, for not reconciling with that person, for not deepening my relationship with God, for not serving my family, for being rude, for whatever shortcomings I may have, whatever the shortcoming may have, I hope that I could stop giving myself excuses and come to a place of repentance. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.